Hey everybody, welcome back to the Conscious Love Show. Before we jump into today's episode, I have one question for you. Would you like to improve your meditation skills? Or what about breathwork? Would you like to learn how to use breathwork better? Well, I want to tell you about an app that I am absolutely falling in love with. It's called the Aura app, and all in one place, you can get access to thousands of meditations, hundreds of breathwork teachers. In addition to that, you'll have access to emotional healing sessions, sound healing, hypnosis, health coaching. Plus, you get access to thousands of different programs covering everything from anxiety to relationships. And you also get access to hundreds of different coaches and therapists from all around the world, all in one single app. Truthfully, I have never seen so many incredible resources offered in a single place. And if you're looking for something that can help you improve your meditation life and improve your personal care and wellness routines overall, I think this app is one of the best possible things you can use. So what I want to do right now is give you an opportunity to start a 7-day free trial of the app. If you look in the podcast description below wherever you're listening to this episode right now, you'll find the link to activate your 7-day free trial. When you use that link, you will also get an additional 25% off any membership option you choose once the trial ends. So if you choose to move forward with any of the membership options, which all of them are quite affordable to begin with, you will, in addition to that, get an extra 25% off by going through the link I have in the description. Best part about this is that when you activate your free trial, you are supporting the show without going out of your way or doing anything extra to have to do so. So it's a really, really great win-win for everyone. And I hope you take the opportunity to try out this app and get all the amazing benefits that are available to you in it, because I know it is going to impact you. It's something I use for myself. It's something I use with my students in the Inspired Love program. And I really, really want you to be able to access it as well. So at the link in the description, you can start your 7-day free trial. Make sure to go do that. Thanks for being with me today, and let's jump into today's show. Hey everybody, welcome to the Conscious Love Show. Whether you are single, you are in a relationship, or you're healing a broken heart, this show is here to inspire you, to remind you how beautiful, lovable, and amazing you truly are, and to give you the practical tools and insights to navigate from wherever you are right now to the loving relationship that you so deeply want to have. My name is Shane Kohler. I'm a certified transformational coach and trainer with over a decade experience helping people release their trauma and open their hearts to love. I've delivered seminars all over the world, coached thousands of people through my online platforms and programs, and every week I'm coming straight to you with the hottest insights and the best teachers around, bringing you powerful resources and profound conversations to heal your relationship with love, dating, and yourself. I'm so grateful you're here, and if it's your first time, welcome. You can count on me to always show up for you with my very best and a commitment to learn and grow myself so I can serve you to my maximum ability. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. I've got some awesome things planned for you today, so without further ado, let's dive in. All right. So hello, everybody. Hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Conscious Love Show. Shane Kohler here with you today. Pleasure to be on with you and looking forward to diving into today's discussion. Today's going to be a good one. And if you were with me last week, then last week I did a really cool discussion around attraction and the science and the hormones behind attraction and really how we are, what happens for us in terms of hormones and scientifically as we're involved with someone and getting to know them and becoming attracted to them. And in today's episode, I'm going to continue the conversation, but honing in specifically on the differences between men and women. And so as I've been continuing kind of my research and, been kind of gripped by this conversation of attraction and the science behind it and how it all works, as I've been continuing my research, I found some really fascinating things. Continuing off of last week, we talked about dopamine, we talked about norepinephrine, we talked about serotonin, we talked about oxytocin, testosterone, estrogen, all these different hormones that are kind of active in the dating and attraction phases as we're getting to know someone. there's another one that we're going to talk about today that I didn't touch on last week that is particularly present for men, and that's called vasopressin. So we're going to talk about the role of vasopressin in long-term commitment and how that develops for men over time. So a lot of cool stuff I want to talk about today, but I think to really start today's conversation, I just want to begin by presenting the idea that men and women bond very differently. And I think a lot of the, you know, most of the challenges, like when I get questions or, you know, people come to me for coaching, like so much of the challenges that people are facing when it comes to love or dating or romance or getting into a relationship or any and all of it, so much of the challenges that we're facing is around the fact that we bond differently. And naturally, and I mean, we all do this in every aspect of our lives, right? We wrongfully, you know, we wrongfully assume that people are going to respond to things or handle things or think about things or feel about things the way we do. And we do this all the time, everywhere. Everybody does it. But particularly when it comes to dating and romance, I think women expect men to bond to them the way that they bond to men. And I think men expect women to bond to them the way they bond to women. And of course, I'm talking about kind of a heteronormative situation here. And I think these, as with everything, these principles apply. But when you get into gay relationships or different kinds of relationships, I think the principles are there, but they're a little bit different because the dynamics are a little bit different. So I'm going to kind of keep it in heteronormative terms so we can understand the concepts as simply as possible. And so there's a certain process that women go through when they bond to a man. And there's a certain process that men go through when they bond to a woman. And these processes are different, right? They're very distinct. Last week, I talked about kind of the general process that we all go through when, you know, we're dating. This week, we're going into more of the specifics of, okay, what is a woman's process and what is a man's process? And I do also want to say, as we get into this conversation, that there are women out there who bond more closely to the way men bond. And there are men out there who bond more closely to the way women bond. We're going to be, again, talking about generalities and kind of norms so we can understand the concepts. And then, of course, there are going to be fluctuations in all directions. So generally speaking, unfortunately for women, I'll say, women tend to bond faster than men do. Women tend to bond faster than men do. And this is the result of one particular neurochemical called oxytocin, which we talked about last week. So oxytocin is the bonding chemical. It's the chemical that is released during childbirth. It's released during breastfeeding. It's released during sex. It's released during dating. When you're getting to know someone and you're falling in love with them, oxytocin is generally the reason for that. Oxytocin is generally the thing that has you really bond to someone in a way where you say, oh my God, I want to be with them forever. Dopamine is more of the rush, the excitement of, oh, I really like this person. I can't wait to see them again. But oxytocin is the thing that makes you feel like you want to be with them forever. Now, women release oxytocin very naturally. It happens during childbirth. It happens during breastfeeding. It happens during sex, particularly for women. It can happen during sex for men as well, but often not in the same way or in the same amounts or as quickly or as frequently. So the reason for that is that testosterone, high levels of testosterone actually block the production of oxytocin. So the very thing that is produced in women that has them bond to a man and want to get very close to a man and want to develop a strong relationship with a man, the very thing that has her do that is blocked by the male sex hormone. Now, he can release oxytocin long-term, and he will, and he does. But in the short term, especially when his testosterone is very high, he's not going to release large amounts of oxytocin. He's going to release smaller amounts of it, or sometimes maybe not at all, or the majority of it will be blocked. Now, if you understand the evolutionary substance behind this, you know, if you imagine being a cave woman, and I mean, honestly, even in today's society, like there are places where like you still can't call the police and they can't come protect you, right? So like Yes, in many places in our world, we're pretty safe today. And in other places, we're still not. But if you imagine being a cave woman, right, and you're very vulnerable, like, I mean, just strictly on a physical level, women are vulnerable to men. In an altercation between a woman and a man, 9 times out of 10, the man is going to overpower the woman. And so when you're a cave woman and you're vulnerable, like, your only real choice, your only real option for safety is to bond with a man to protect you from other men. And so evolutionarily speaking, women have developed the ability to bond to men very quickly. That's what keeps them safe. That's what allows them to be protected in the world. Not only that, but women are not only concerned about their own protection, they're also attuned to the protection of themselves and the protection of their child. Right? So women not only need to bond to men for their own protection, but they also need to bond to men to protect themselves and their child. So evolutionarily speaking, it's built into the system that when a woman is in close relationship with a man, hormones are released that cause her to bond, especially during sex, especially during close intimacy, especially as the relationship develops, especially as you spend more time together. Now, if the woman didn't do this, right? And please understand, I'm not talking about modern people. I'm not talking about the way it is in our society. I'm talking about evolutionarily what's happening for us so you can understand why we are the way we are, why we experience the things we experience. Evolutionarily speaking, if a woman did not quickly bond to a man, our species would have died out, right? Because the women needed to be kept safe in order for them to give birth to children, in order for children to, right, in order for them to grow and our species to continue. And the same thing is true. If a woman was not attuned to protecting her child and bonding with a man in order to protect her child, our species would also die out, right? So, like, there's this, it's built into the system that women need to bond to men for protection and to protect their child. And that's what allows our species to survive. Men, on the other hand, don't need that bond for protection, right? So men, evolutionarily speaking, are more programmed to spread their seed. That's what evolutionarily would keep our species alive, right? Men bonding with women and having one family with one child, with one group, right? Like, that's actually going to limit the survival of the species. Now, as I say this, I'm not suggesting that men should be out there sleeping around with everybody. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just talking about the evolutionary aspects that are causing us to experience what we experience now, right? So it's better for the survival of our species if the men stay out there spreading their seed around and the women attach to men to protect themselves and their children, right? That's what perpetuates the survival of the species. In our modern world, we have concerns that are bigger than survival. Okay, in a lot of modern societies, women don't need to bond to men for survival now, right? In general, I understand there are exceptions to this, especially in certain places in the world. But in general, in a lot of places, women are relatively safe, right? So that need to bond is not there in the same way. But the evolutionary mechanics are still there. Same thing, we don't necessarily need men to be out there spreading their seed all over the place. You know, the world is overpopulated, right? Like, we don't necessarily need that in the same way. But evolutionarily speaking, the mechanics are still in place. So the reason I'm kind of breaking this down is because you want to understand, when a man and a woman meet, this is what is at play, right? These are the dynamics that are at play. This is what's happening. The woman is looking to bond. The man is looking to spread a seed and move on. Now, of course, it's not only hormones. It's not only evolution. Like, there's a lot of other factors involved here too, right? We have cultural upbringing. We have the fact that maybe that man is more of a romantic. We have the idea that maybe he grew up with loving parents and he always admired the way his father loved his mother and he always wanted to do that for a woman, right? Like, there are different possibilities. So I'm not saying that all men are wired to be this way and across the board and that's just how it is. There are all different kinds of men that are all in all different places in their lives. But you want to understand that biologically speaking, this is to a large degree what's happening for a man. And so there's something called the Coolidge effect. And the Coolidge effect is something that's been observed in animals. And for most mammals, this is the observed behavior, is that when a male animal sleeps with the same female more than a few times, they start to lose interest and they start to look for other females. And this is again an effect that's been observed in animals. It's due to high levels of testosterone, right? So high levels of testosterone create this need to kind of keep moving on, keep moving forward, keep looking for the next conquest, so to speak, right? That's what high levels of testosterone create. When a man is in a relationship with a woman for an extended period of time, his testosterone starts to lower. And as his testosterone starts to lower, what starts to become available is one, oxytocin. As I said earlier, high levels of testosterone block the production of oxytocin. So when a man is operating with high levels of testosterone, he has the inability to bond. He cannot deeply make a bond when he is operating with very high levels of testosterone. Now, in the early, say the attraction phase, if you remember, if anybody was with me last week, and if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I would say it's one you definitely want to check out, because in that episode, I'm kind of laying the foundations for a lot of the things we're talking about in this episode in terms of all the different hormones that are active and the different stages of attraction and things like that. In the attraction phase, which we talked about last week on the podcast, the active hormones are dopamine, something called norepinephrine, and then there's a reduction in serotonin. For men in particular, the experience of dopamine is critical to how they fall in love. I said earlier there's another hormone we're going to touch on today called vasopressin. That's also critical for how a man falls in love. So when a single man is dating and he meets a woman, you can generally assume, I mean, of course, there are variations. Of course, everybody's a little different, but you can generally assume he's got high levels of testosterone in his system, which means he has a high sex drive. So when you meet a man, and I'm speaking to all the ladies out there, when you meet a man and unless, you know, he's been very sexually active in the recent days before he's been with you, right? Like there's a good chance that this man has a high sex drive. And if he's dating you and if he's not sleeping with other people, that sex drive is being directed at you, right? Like he's putting that energy towards you. Now, if that energy gets satisfied too quickly, and as I say this, like I know I often talk about like women, it is generally good advice to not sleep with a man right away. And when I say that, I'm not trying to police anybody's sexuality. I'm not trying to, you know, disempower anybody or anything like that. But like, this is something I've just observed coaching men, coaching women, like over the years, I've observed that when men have sex very quickly, they often also lose interest very quickly. And the science that I've been studying recently is actually backing all this up. So again, it's not to disempower anybody. It's not to restrict you. It's not to say what you can and can't do. If you want to just go have sex just for the fun of it without any expectation that it's going to lead anywhere, then by all means, I wouldn't tell you not to. But if you're seeking a long-term relationship, it is generally advisable to not sleep with someone right away. Because the reason is when a man is operating at high levels of testosterone, as I've already said, oxytocin is not being produced, which means that he's not bonding closely. The next thing that's going to happen is even though he's not producing oxytocin, he is producing dopamine. Dopamine is the reward hormone. So every time he sees you, every time he touches you, every time he kisses you, every time he gets close to you, every time he thinks about you, the dopamine is being released in his system, which is his reward motivation, right? So it's telling him this is good. You want to see her. You want to talk to her. You want to call her. You want to think about her, right? The dopamine is calling him towards you. He's also developing, maybe not as quickly as the dopamine is being produced, but there's another hormone being produced called vasopressin. And that's like a protective hormone. That's like, when it shows up in women, it's like mama bear energy. Like think about like mama bear, don't touch my cub. Like that's vasopressin in women. Well, in men, it's like, don't touch my lady, right? So as he's getting to know you, And as the dopamine is being set off in his brain that's triggering these reward centers, as he's getting to know you, he's also developing this protective sense about you. He's starting to feel that this is my woman. And I don't mean that in a controlling or possessive sense, but just in a sense of like, this is my relationship. This is my partner. This, like, you know, this is mine. I don't want other people to touch it. I don't want anybody to take it from me. Right. So he's starting to develop this protective sense. So just to reiterate what I'm saying, while he's not releasing oxytocin and bonding with you in the same way you might be bonding with him, which oxytocin feels like I'm in love with this person. I just want to be so close to them. I just can't get enough of them, right? He might not be bonding with you in that way, the same way that women often bond with men. But the way he is bonding with you is through the rewards of dopamine and then through the protective sense that's being built around you. When you sleep with a man very early on, it kills the dopamine and the vasopressin. So basically, as soon as he completes, the dopamine and the vasopressin drop. And this is what causes the Coolidge effect that I was talking about earlier, right? The Coolidge effect is this sense of they lose interest in the person that they're regularly having sex with. If the levels of dopamine and vasopressin have been allowed to build up sufficiently for long enough, the drop that is experienced after you sleep with them will not be that significant and it'll build back up. But if it happens very early on and there's been relatively, you know, a little dopamine, just enough to pursue you and want to see you and want to sleep with you, right? And there's been relatively little or no vasopressin in terms of like starting to identify as your partner or having a protective or possessive sense around you, right? Like if none of that has developed, then once you sleep with them, they're really kind of on to the next. And again, I'm not saying that this is true for all men. I'm not saying that this is true in every situation. I'm not saying that this is 100% true across the board. I think these hormonal levels are different in everybody. But if we were taking a very strong male example that was very testosterone dominant, this is the way it would happen. Now, I think there are a lot of men who naturally release more oxytocin, right? There are a lot of men that are not so high in testosterone. They maybe have a more moderate level of testosterone and they tend to release a lot of oxytocin, which means they tend to fall in love more easily. They tend to be more romantic. Ironically enough, men like that are often men that women don't fall in love with so easily. So of course, as I said in the beginning, there's gray area around all of this. But if you can understand these principles and you can really understand kind of the general sense of what's happening here, you can get a sense of how this develops. And I said earlier that when, you know, single men or dating men have very high levels of testosterone, and when a woman starts dating a man, there's a lot of sexual energy being brought towards you. And I think, you know, very skilled women know how to manipulate this energy. That's what seduction is. And I know those terms like manipulator, seduction, they get a bad rap. And so when I talk about being manipulative or seducing, I don't mean to like be manipulative in the way we often think about it, right? The word manipulate comes from the Latin word mana, which is to work with your hands, right? And so to manipulate is to like move something or change something with your hands. And we could say that when the energy is coming at you, like you can move that energy or direct that energy in a way that's beneficial for both of you, right? There's a way that you can manipulate without being manipulative to hurt somebody, but rather a way that's going to actually serve them and serve you as well. And I think great women really know how to do this. They know how to seduce men. And again, you can seduce someone into your bed for the night, but that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about seducing someone into sharing a life with you. When a man is coming at you, let's say he has high levels of testosterone, let's say he has a lot of sexual energy and he's bringing that to you, right? And women often say, well, why do I have to be the one to stop it? Why can't he be the one to stop it? And I think, well, you know, as men become more aware and more conscious, and like, I know men that have taken vows of celibacy for years and, you know, chosen to work on their own sexual energy rather than putting it out in the world. Like, so there are men who do that. And I think the more conscious men become and the more conscious people become overall, the more and more we're going to see men choosing to do things like that. But generally, in a situation where, like, you know, two relatively normal people are dating, you know, the woman says, why can't the man be the one to put the brakes on it? Like, honestly, he probably literally can't. Like, he's probably crawling out of his skin at the first opportunity to get some. So really, a lot of times, the woman's the only one who can put the brakes on it. Now, of course, like I said, men can develop that, but most men have not developed that. When you require a man to put the brakes on it, and like, I think there's even a sexy way to do that, by the way. And I know, I just want to say this because if we're talking about seduction, right, you want to invite him into the relationship, not turn him off. I've seen a lot of women get really off put when a man shows sexual interest in them. And I've talked about this before. And, you know, I think the way you handle that even can be the difference between if he wants to see you again or not. Because I think a lot of men, while they are horny, while they do want to have sex, I think they also genuinely value relationship. And I think they also genuinely, you know, while maybe their first priority is like, I just want to get laid, and that's, you know, probably top of the list for a lot of men out there. I think underneath that, they also think to themselves that, you know, if I meet someone and it goes well and I like the person, I would definitely be open to a relationship. And I truly believe a lot of men feel that way. And I think if a man is coming at you with a sexual interest and he feels rejected or shamed, or he feels somehow disregarded in that sense, like you don't recognize that need, or you don't appreciate that, or you're either afraid of that, or you diminish that, or disrespect that in some way, I think that can give a man a feeling like, I don't want anything to do with this person. But if you can honor that and even appreciate that energy he's bringing your way, and in a sexy and flirty way, redirect it and say something like, you know, I love that you're into me like this, and I'm not ready to go there with you yet, but if you play your cards right, maybe I will be. Or, and I'm not saying to use those exact words. That's just kind of the gist of it, right? But there's, you know, in what I just said, there's one, an appreciation of the energy he's bringing your way. There's also a clarity about what your boundary is, about where you stand. Right? So you're honoring him and acknowledging him while asserting your boundary and where you stand. Then there's also the possibility, the leading him to see that there is the possibility of something more, right? If you play your cards right, I might be ready to go there with you. So this is all very, very exciting. This is all very, very sexy. This is all keeping him on the edge of his seat, going like, yeah, like what do I got to do, right? So I think this is the space that a man needs to live in for a period of time to fall in love with someone, right? Like, think about if you, and I know, like, as a woman, it might be really hard. Like, as a man, I can feel this experience instantly. I know exactly what I'm talking about. As a woman, it might be difficult to really understand what I'm getting at here. But it's like, imagine like physically wanting something or someone to the level of need and having it right in front of you, like so close you can like almost taste it. But then it's being withheld a little bit. And there's this element of like working for it and earning it. And every step that he's working for it, the reward that he's working towards is becoming more and more and more and more valuable in his mind. Now, I know what I'm describing here might sound like super toxic and super manipulative, and it can be that way. And there are a lot of women who do it that way, right? Like, I mean, that's not a mystery, right? Like we've seen women doing this since the beginning of time. So there are a lot of women who do it in a manipulative way, and it is very manipulative. It is very fucked up and toxic. There are also women who do it in an authentic way, where it's not about holding power over the man. You know, I'm not putting the brakes on it and making you jump through all these hoops to sit back and watch and laugh at you and hold this power over you. No, I'm doing it out of self-respect, right? I'm doing it to honor my own boundary. The fact that me honoring my own boundary makes you more attracted to me is just a happy side effect, right? So I'm doing this to pace the relationship at a rate that's comfortable for me. I'm doing this to protect myself, to make sure that, you know, I don't sleep with you and then never hear from you again, right? I'm doing this out of self-respect, out of honoring myself. The fact that it makes me infinitely more attractive to you and more desirable to you and more interesting to you is just a happy side effect. So as he's in this space of, you know, the testosterone is there, it's driving him towards you, but he's not able to fulfill it. He's not able to complete it. What's also happening is the dopamine is being released. So he's being rewarded for all these interactions that you have together. And as I said earlier, the vasopressin is being released, right? And it's actually the more hits of dopamine he gets around you, the more rewarded he is for your interactions together, the more protective he starts to feel about you, right? The more he starts to feel like, this is my reward, this is my prize, I don't want to let anyone else get to it. I don't want to let it get away from me. I don't want to lose it. So then at the time when you do sleep together, whenever that is, and I think, I'm not going to say like there's a right time for that to happen, because I don't think there's a right time. I think in relationships, it's very unique to the individuals. And I think it has a lot to do with the depth of relationship that you've created with each other. I think it has a lot to do with the consistency you've built, with how you've shown up for each other. It has a lot to do with a lot of different things, right? So I can't say there's one right time. Like I often say that my wife did this very well with me, right? Like everything I've been talking about, like this was, I had never experienced this with a woman until I met my wife. And what I'm explaining to you right now is very much exactly what happened with me and my wife. So I can't say there's an exact right time to sleep with someone. But what I can say is that if you are present to your interactions in the relationship, and if you trust yourself and you trust your intuition, like you'll know when you're ready to go there with the person. And I think that's just really got to be the metric, right? Like, you trust yourself on when you feel safe enough with that person to go there. And for myself and my wife, it wasn't an incredibly long time. It was about 3 weeks or something like that. But we also talked on the phone like every single day for hours, right? So there was a lot that was built up in our relationship in a matter of a few weeks. And if there hadn't been so much, then maybe it wouldn't have happened in a few weeks. Maybe it would have happened in a few months. But as he's in this space of continuing to pursue you and continuing to get to know you, and the dopamine and the vasopressin, as we've been talking about, are building up inside of him, something that's also happening is he's regulating his testosterone levels, right? So I said earlier that men in long-term committed relationships or married men have lower testosterone. The level of testosterone that keeps them out in the world constantly seeking another conquest has lowered, so that doesn't exist for them anymore. What is happening for him in this period of time as he's dating you and getting to know you and, you know, developing a relationship with you, he's actually regulating his testosterone levels, right? Like he's bringing them down a notch. And so when you do take that step with him at the time, again, that you feel is right for you, the testosterone is likely not operating at a level that's going to have him see you as another conquest, right? The testosterone may at that point be lowered to a degree where greater levels of oxytocin can be released, where he can form those strong bonds with you. So I say all of this to say, and I want to kind of bring it back here, because I've talked a lot about like the details and the kind of the nitty gritty and the science behind all of it. And, you know, I for me personally, like, I think it's fascinating to be able to see these experiences that I've observed in myself and in my relationship, and that I've observed in different clients and different, you know, people I've worked with throughout the years. Like, I think it's fascinating to be able to see this stuff and be able to like name it and like be able to recognize what's happening and to be able to understand like scientifically what's happening when we're dating someone. And I think it's also powerful to know that. But I think the most important point of today's conversation, and I don't want to get so caught up in all the nitty gritty details of all the science and the hormones and everything, because I think what we really want to understand here is that men and women bond differently, right? They just do. Like, men and women bond differently. And men, for reasons we talked about earlier, evolutionarily speaking, like, women tend to bond more quickly. Men tend to bond more slowly. Now, of course, there are men who bond more the way most women do. There are women who bond more the way most men do. So I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, varying degrees here. But generally speaking, when a woman meets a man, if she's attracted to him, if she wants a long-term relationship, if she wants a family, if that's what's happening for her, you know, if he seems like a good match for her, if he seems like the kind of guy she wants to be with, and she doesn't, you know, hold herself back to any degree, like, if she just lets it happen, she's probably going to bond with him very quickly. And what happens when a woman bonds with a man very quickly is he just hasn't, for all the reasons we've talked about so far today, he just hasn't had enough time to feel the way about her that she feels about him. There just simply has not been enough time for the same chemicals to emerge in him that have emerged in her. And so she starts to feel insecure. She starts to feel frustrated. She starts to get pushy. She starts to get, you know, these different kinds of things, because she's looking at him going like, I feel so much for you. I want so much from you. You don't feel the same as me, or you're not feeling the same way I do. And that's scary, right? That makes me insecure. That makes me uncomfortable. Most of the frustrations that I hear specifically from women are around these kinds of scenarios. Now, of course, I know, as I've said, I coach women who have like very strong avoidant attachment styles, and they're the exact opposite, right? Like, they struggle to bond with a man. But generally, when I hear concerns from women, the concerns that I often hear from women are that they have bonded with men quicker than the men have bonded with them. And now they're feeling insecure, they're feeling afraid, they're feeling frustrated, they're feeling all the stuff. Men, on the other hand, when I talk to men, men have a similar but somewhat opposite frustration, where they're going like, man, I met this awesome girl or woman, like, I was feeling great about it, like, everything was good, it was all going well, and then she started getting pushy, like, out of nowhere, like, I thought things were good. I thought we were vibing. We were getting to know each other. I thought this might go somewhere. And then she starts getting pushy, and she starts getting demanding, and she starts wanting more than I can give. And she starts asking, you know, these questions and things. And it's the same frustration on both sides, just opposite versions of it. Probably the biggest reason that we have this frustration is because we don't really understand the processes of how men attach and how women attach. Right? Like, that's one of the biggest things that's happening here. I think the other thing that's happening is there's not, once we do understand, there's not a compassionate relationship to what's happening for the other person. And I think that's what we need to develop. And I want to say, like, you know, for the ladies who are listening today, or for the men who are listening today, like, you're going to have to plug yourself into your own experience. Like, I'll just share for myself. Like, if I reflect back on my own experience dating, and like, I think I've often been a man who, like, I can definitely recognize at certain times in my past, I've had very high levels of testosterone. I can recall after certain sexual experiences, just having the feeling like, I just got to get out of here. Like, I just cannot, like, I just can't stand to be here. Right. Like, there was just something in me that, like, once the sexual experience was done, I just had to get away. But then I've also seen at other times in my life that I've been somebody who was maybe able to release more oxytocin and bond more quickly. Right. Like, I think, in some of my adult relationships later in life, like in my, I think about my last few relationships prior to meeting my wife, like I was more emotionally available. I think I did bond a little more quickly. I don't think I was so sexually driven as I was when I was younger. So I think for all the listeners, whether you're a woman or whether you're a man, you're going to have to kind of plug yourself in and find out, well, okay, what's your personal experience of the situation? But that being said, I think overall, we can develop a more compassionate perspective where, you know, if you are somebody, be it a man or a woman, who tends to bond very quickly, you can compassionately understand that other people don't necessarily, right? Like, you can just kind of compassionately understand that other people have a different process around that. And so what you would want to do is you would want to really learn about yourself, right? And you would want to go like, okay, so I notice for myself that, like, when I'm attracted to someone, when I like someone, when all those, you know, green flags are there, like, or maybe not real green flags, right? But all the things I think are green flags, when all those are there, like, I bond with someone quickly. And what I've realized throughout my life is that often the people that I'm attracted to don't bond as quickly. So what I would want to do is I would want to learn and understand, what is their process of bonding? Like, for people who are different than me, what is the process through which they bond to other people? Right. And I'm just going to take the gender conversation off the table at this point. Yes, generally speaking, men have a certain process and women have a certain process. But if we just talk about the individual, you want to recognize that, you know, I have a certain process and other people have their own process. And I want to know what my process is, and I want to know what the process is of people who are different than me, and I want to be able to navigate a relationship with someone who has a different process than me, because otherwise, I'm just going to get beat up in this scenario, right? Otherwise, I'm just going to get walked all over. Like, if I consistently allow myself to quickly bond with people without giving them the time to reciprocate those feelings or figure out how they feel, right? If I do that, then I'm just going to get walked all over. I'm just going to get beat up. So I want to start to develop more awareness about myself and also awareness about how other people operate around this stuff too. And I'd say the same thing too, like, for the typical male perspective, or even if you're a woman who feels this way, if you're not somebody who bonds to people very quickly, I think it's important to have a compassionate understanding that a lot of people do. And of course, like, if someone starts beating down your door 2 weeks into a relationship, or if they're showing inappropriate behavior for the stage that you are in the relationship, then that person probably isn't mature enough to really have a healthy relationship. And it's okay to let that person go. But I think within reasonable standards, there's a degree to which we want to recognize that, like, if you have more of an avoidant personality, people are going to probably bond with you more quickly than you bond with them. And in the same way, we would ask them to have a compassionate perspective and give you some space and time to grow into that relationship. Well, you would want to also have a compassionate perspective for the fact that they're going to have to struggle to give you some space and time. And you would want to actually work on being able to bond more readily. And I think in this way, we can all kind of meet each other in the middle, right? There's a way that we can meet each other in the middle. Largely, the issue is judgment and lack of awareness. Like, I think when it comes to, like, why do we struggle so much to get into healthy relationships with each other? I think it comes down to being judgmental And it comes down to a lack of awareness. If you have the awareness about it, that's the first step, to just understand that, okay, people aren't attaching to me the same way I'm attaching to them. And that's not wrong, right? Like, these people aren't bad because they don't attach to me the same way I attach to them. They're just different. And then the judgment of like, oh, well, they're just assholes, or, oh, they're just jerks, or like that's so harsh and so judgmental. You're disconnected from the fact that there's a human being over there having an experience that, for better or worse, right, wrong, or indifferent, it's a valid experience. And it may not be a match for you, but you can understand the experience, right? And I think the same thing goes, like, if somebody is in a relationship, if you're more of an avoidant person and someone starts attaching to you very quickly, there's a tendency to be critical of that person. Like, what the fuck's wrong with this person? Why are they so needy? Why are they so, like, you know? And so, again, we need to be aware enough to understand that, okay, this person attaches differently than I do. This person feels different things than I do in relationships, right? But then there's also got to be some compassion for the fact that, hey, like, it's not wrong for that person to attach in the way they're attaching, right? And like, I can have some compassion for the fact that, okay, they're attaching quicker than me. Let me just give them some love and some compassion. And of course, if their behavior gets off, right? If they start acting crazy, if they start being overly pushy or overly demanding or being toxic in some kind of way, well, then I could say, okay, maybe they're not ready for a relationship. But just the fact that they're feeling these things, right? If we could be mature enough, and by the way, I say if we could, like, in the Inspired Love program, I see my clients doing this all the time. Like, I really do. This is a regular occurrence where people will sit down and have conversations and say things like, you know, I'm not as attracted to you as I would like to be, but I would like to give it time to develop. I would like to see if that could develop for us. Right. And like, two mature adults sitting down and having an honest conversation about how they feel and about what they want. And it's like, listen, I don't feel like I'm in love with you right now, but I recognize that you're an amazing person. I recognize that if I were to end up with someone like you, I would be like so lucky to end up with someone like you in my life. And I would like to fall in love with you. And I know that your feelings are stronger than mine right now, but if we can just find a way to meet in the middle and we can give this relationship some time to flourish without pressure or being demanding or trying to control the situation, and we can just be honest and vulnerable with each other every step of the way, right? And like, this is scary, right? Because if you're attaching to someone, you're like, I don't want to do that. I want to lock it down now. I want to know if they're in or out right now. Well, that's like childhood wounding, right? Like, that's like, you're basically, what you're saying when you say that is, I want this person to be the adult for me and make things safe for me. I just want them to be my source of security. I don't want to have to develop internal security as I navigate this situation. It's in us both willing to be those very mature adults and own our own personal experience and understand the other person's experience, and meet in the truth and the honesty and the reality of what our relationship is in this moment, and be honest with each other about what we want and where it could go from here, and take the risks involved in that. There are no guarantees. And I think, like, we so deeply want to meet someone and have a guarantee from them. Like, even if they gave you every guarantee in the world, they could get hit by a bus tomorrow. And so, like, you got to understand, there really is no guarantee. Any guarantee you think you have is an illusion. This love thing that we're involved in here is deeply, deeply vulnerable. And there's no way around that. And so, yes, we want to have awareness about how people attach and how this all works. We want to have compassion and understanding for the people who relate differently than we do. And we also want to have courage, the courage to face, to go to those uncomfortable places, to grow through those uncomfortable things. I do just want to say in closing, thank you so much for being with me in today's conversation. I know some of the things we've spoken about today and some of the topics we've covered can be uncomfortable. They can be challenging. And I do just want to acknowledge that and just say thank you for your courage in confronting today's conversation and in exploring this with me and being in this exploration. So I do just want to acknowledge if you've made it this far with me, thank you for that. And I also want to acknowledge that, you know, I know in today's episode and in all the episodes, really, I often talk about, you know, and in this situation, say this or do this, create the boundary or assert yourself in this way. And I just want to be sensitive to, while we talk about these things and while I'm suggesting a certain maybe course of action or effective way to approach things, I want to acknowledge that I myself have not always and do not always handle things in the best way. And I want to say that because I don't want anyone who out there listening, who maybe you're listening to this and you say, I get it and I understand it, but I struggle to put it into practice or I struggle to embody it. I don't want anybody to ever feel less than, because I want to acknowledge that this is a struggle for all of us, right? And while we're aspiring to be our most empowered and, you know, confident and creative selves, we all struggle to reach that mark sometimes. And I want to say that, you know, I would not be in the place I am today if it wasn't for the people that I was able to connect with, that were able to show me the way, that were able to teach me the things that I needed to learn and work with me in my circumstances to be able to navigate them in a way that could actually create the relationship I have today and really everything I have in all areas of my life, right? It was the people who were able to be on my team and navigate my life with me and help coach and guide me in those circumstances that gave me the tools to navigate them in the way and gave me the tools to be here and teach the things that I'm teaching now. And so I just want to make a heartfelt invitation for anyone out there who you hear this and you get this, but you feel like you struggle to embody it or you struggle to really put it into practice in your life in a meaningful way. I want to say I get that and I've been there. And I want to make a heartfelt invitation for you to work with me, right? Because that's what I'm here for. And the reason I do this work is because people did it for me. And so if that's you and you're saying, you know, I really want to become masterful in these respects. I really want to, you know, own my power and my assertiveness and my creativity and relationships. And, you know, I want to be that person who can call forth the best in the people I date. And I want to be that person, right? Like I want to create that. Then I want to invite you to work with me. And in the description below this, this podcast, wherever you're listening to it, you'll find a link to apply for us to work together. And if you feel called, if you feel like it would serve you right now, and you're ready for things to change in a real way, and you're ready to step into a new paradigm of your experience and, you know, create the best in life and love and, you know, everything overall, right? Just really have your life be the work of art that you know it can be. I would love to be on your team with that and help guide and coach you in that process. And so, again, the link in the description below, you can apply to work with me there. And if you're called to, I'd love to get to know you better and see how I can support. So thank you so much for being with me in today's conversation. And again, I want to acknowledge your courage and sending you lots of love and best wishes for your life and the greatest love. Thank you so much again for being with me. Lots of love. We'll see you back here next Tuesday. Thanks again for checking out the show. Please subscribe on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on the most. And I would love it so much if you leave a review and tell people what you think of us. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Living Relationship to connect more closely. And I'm grateful to be supporting you on your journey to love.